Jeffrey Deaver is in the studio with me tonight. He's the author of 32 novels and 3 collections of short stories. He's a former corporate attorney, songwriter, and journalist, and even took a turn as an evil journalist on As the World Turns. His books are international bestsellers, and he has awards from around the globe, including 3 Ellery Queen Awards. He has had several books named as Novel of the Year, and the award that says it all, the British Thumping Good Read Award. He first introduced us to Lincoln Rhyme in The Bone Collector, which was made into a movie starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie. Lincoln Rhyme is back with us, and we're going to talk about what he's up to in Jeffrey Deaver's new novel titled The Skin Collector. Jeffrey Deaver, it's wonderful to have you on Around Cincinnati.
Delighted to be here and talking to you, Barb.
I think we could say that Lincoln Rhyme is sort of an unconventional good guy. So for folks who might not know him, give us a description, if you would.
Sure. Lincoln Rhyme is, as your listeners are well aware of, the world of forensic science, thanks to all the TV shows recently. He is a forensic expert. He had worked for the New York City Police Department as a crime scene investigator, then was head of the NYPD crime scene unit until he was injured on the job quite severely. And he is now a quadriplegic. He's paralyzed from the neck down. I'll tell you very briefly where Lincoln Rhyme came from. About 15 years ago, I was looking for a new idea to write into a novel. And my theory is I write for my readers. I am just so lucky to be able to, frankly, make up stories for a living. And I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's going to be fun to read, what's going to be different, something they haven't seen before. And I was kicking around ideas for your traditional private investigator or your traditional action adventure hero, somebody who, you know, at the end, the climactic scene of the book was on the ground being beaten up by the bad guy. And suddenly he would have that moment of revelation that, oh, I recall my father taught me to kickbox when I was 5 before he left me and my mother. So he'd leap up and kickbox the villain. Well, those are all such cliched endings. I wanted to do something that readers had not seen before. So I thought I would update a Sherlock Holmes character, make a character who was purely cerebral, who had to outthink the villain. And I mean, literally, not be tied up with duct tape or locked in a cell somewhere, but he physically could not get to the crime scene, could not confront the villain. And that's where Lincoln Rhyme came from. And to my astonishment, because he seems a bit of an unlikely hero, he has become hugely popular around the world. And The Skin Collector is now the 11th book in the series.
Mm. Well, he is a quirky guy. While we're on Lincoln, I wanted to ask you, since he's the hero, even though a bit of an unlikely one, what does the hero's name need to embody? Because Lincoln Rhyme is such an interesting name. So what did you want that to conjure up for us who are reading about him?
Sure. When you come up with names, there are rules that authors have to follow. For instance, you cannot have 2 characters who have similar names. For instance, Barb, if I could use your name, and then another character, Bob, simply because either on the audio version of the book or readers reading quickly might see that name and get confused. So it would have to be Barb and Fred as the 2 hench people, if I may put you in the villainous role. So that's one rule. The other rule is not to have them echo a motif that we might see in what I would call a bad made-for-TV movie. And that means the hero should not be called Rock or Stone or Ace or something like that, because the readers say, oh, give me a break. A real hero is not going to be named that way. Well, when I was looking around for the reason I'm laughing, your listeners will find this out in just a moment. I'm thinking of a character named a forensic scientist. What on earth could I name him? I had just gotten a German Shepherd not too long before I started working on the Lincoln Rhyme book, went to the veterinarian to have him, my little puppy, checked out, and he checked out just fine. The vet said, Jeff, this is one of the nicest dogs I've ever seen. And I said to the vet, I am naming a character in my book after you. His name was Rhyme. So I wish I could say there was some great psychological import for picking that, but that was the reason I chose it. However, I will say the first name, Lincoln, because I will admit it echoed from my boyhood in Illinois. It echoed, of course, Abraham Lincoln, and there is quite a heroic connotation to that character. So a combination of President of the United States and a veterinarian, hence Lincoln Rhyme.
It really works. It just catches one's imagination, I think. So tell us, what is Lincoln up to? What's he trying to solve, and his band of colleagues?
When I was doing an interview some years ago, the interviewer turned to me and said, actually in a rather hostile manner, "Mr. Deaver, what do you say to the charge that your books are manipulative and calculating?" And I said, "Thank you," because they are meant to be manipulative and calculating. My books are like roller coasters. They move very quickly. All the novels I write, they take place over 2 to 3 days tops, a lot of internal reversals, big surprise endings. Each book, including The Skin Collector, has 3 surprise endings. Just when you think it's over, something else happens. Then after that, something else happens. Well, in the same way that my books are calculating and manipulative, the whole arc of a series is planned out the same way as one of my books. So in the book, The Bone Collector, 15 years ago, I intentionally left open a plot point. And I'm going to have to be a little vague now because so much of my fiction involves twists and the unexpected. So I can't give too much away, but I will say that certain individuals escaped justice at the end of The Bone Collector intentionally. And they have been coming back in various forms over the past 15 years until finally I decided it was time to put that plot point to rest, hence The Skin Collector. And I'll explain very briefly what I mean by that. In The Skin Collector, we have a very nefarious villain named Billy Haven. Now, what an innocuous-sounding name, but we soon learn that he's not innocuous at all. He's a very, very talented tattoo artist who, for reasons that are slowly explained in the book, finds his victims in, let's say, subterranean places of New York. That would be laundry rooms, parking garages, maybe restrooms of very posh restaurants in Manhattan. And he tattoos on them a message that is meant to taunt the police. And if they're clever enough, the police should be able to figure out where he's going to strike next and what he has in mind. Lincoln and Amelia get on the case, and it again becomes a typical Jeffrey Deaver book, the sort I just described not too long ago.
I'm wondering what is most fascinating to you as the creator of these folks. Is it the forensic part itself? Is it the twists and turns, the combination of both?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I write, first of all, why I write, and second, why I write crime fiction. First, I write because there's something to me inherently good and important about stories. Now, by stories, my definition, everybody has a different one, but my definition of a story is quite simple. It's a fictional creation of characters who are living and breathing, both the good characters and the bad characters. By that, I mean they're made up, of course, but they're fully fleshed out. These are real people, people we could know in real life, characters in escalating series of conflicts. They butt their heads up against each other or up against brick walls all the way through the story, all leading to a big crescendo of a climactic scene, and then ultimately the conflict is resolved, and in my case, generally for the good. Good usually prevails in my books. I want my books to be an intense emotional experience. I want people to show up for work late because they had to finish that next chapter, miss class, and get on a bus in Cincinnati intending to go to Cleveland. Next thing they know, the bus driver says, "Welcome to Detroit," because they have missed their stop. That's why I write. I like that emotional engagement. Why I write crime is that it allows me to do that, to create emotional engagement on many different levels, because there's always the crime itself that has to be solved. And that could involve murder. It could involve robberies. It might involve a terrorist plot. And we always want to know what's going to happen. Is the good guy going to get justice against the bad guy? But crime fiction also includes many conventions that, well, they're really expected now. That would be the emotional aspects of romance or of personal relationships among families, fathers and sons and daughters, mothers and sons and daughters, siblings perhaps, fellow workers. Those are other levels of conflict that I build into subplots. And finally, crime allows us, in fact, encourages us to write about political and social issues. My books have dealt with, most recently, The Kill Room, my book from last year, dealt with the assassination by the U.S. government of a U.S. citizen, targeted killing, based on the Anwar al-Awlaki situation where a U.S. citizen was killed by a U.S. drone strike intentionally. My book, The Burning Wire, was about data mining, NSA data collection. These are things that, you know, really ought to be talked about. And they give depth to the book while not taking away from that emotional roller coaster that I try to make my books into.
in researching before talking to you tonight, saw that you and John Sanford had written a book together. So Lincoln mm-hmm. Rhyme and Lucas Davenport yes. came face-to-face in Face Off. What was that process like?
It was very interesting. John and I have been at this business about the same time. We've written about the same number of books, but we approach writing very differently. And I'll just mention Face Off very quickly, if I could. This was a labor of love on my part and John's and many other authors who were paired together to write a benefit anthology for the International Thriller Writers. This is a very good organization in New York City that supports young writers, supports literacy groups, and so forth. So we donated our short story. The thesis was that two authors would pair up their main characters and put them in a story together. Now, the way I write my stories and my novels is to obsessively spend 8 months outlining, and I mean full-time job outlining the story. So there's nothing left to the imagination. I do the research at the same time during those 8 months. Only at that time do I then write the story, write the novel or the story itself. John's theory about writing is that he's got a mind that lets him sit down and write the story without doing much outlining. So I said, and he was kind enough to agree, I said, John, please, could you help me out here? Because you're smarter than I am, and you probably have a better memory than I do. We kicked around a few ideas, and I said, would it be okay if I did an outline? I'll send it to you, and then you make changes, of course, make adjustments on it, and then we'll sit down and write the book. And we did just that. And whereas some of the authors in this anthology, people like Michael Connelly, for instance, and Dennis Lehane, who I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, they would write one section, hand it off to the other author, and go back and forth until they'd completed it. John and I just divided up the four sections of the outline, four sections each, sat down and wrote it, pasted it all together, and out came the short story. And the title is Rhymes with Prey, because you know, and many of your listeners might, John's books always have the word prey in the title, yes. or most of them have the word prey, P-R-E-Y, in the yes. title. So it was a very fun project that will be released in, July of this year. And if I may mention briefly, another book of mine that just came out, it's called Ice Cold, and it is an anthology of Cold War short stories that Raymond Benson and I did. Now, Raymond is the only other American author, along with myself, who has written a James Bond continuation novel. So we got it into our head that because apparently the Cold War is not quite as dead as we thought it was. All you have to do is look at the front page of the newspaper now and know that there's some folks over in Russia may be up to no good. And so this was a rather prescient project, I should say.
Yes. It's so interesting to talk with you, Jeffrey Deaver. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Well, thank you, Barb.
I've been talking with Jeffrey Deaver about his latest novel, The Skin Collector. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/roundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.